This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
Miss Matthew, Yolanda, and Rick better not be out of the JSA permanently. Haas.
Is that Swahili?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's like an earlier variation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Indeed. So today on the show, folks, we are covering episode 8 of season 2 of Stargirl. And this episode... Yeah, this episode was entitled Chapter 8, Summer School Chapter 8. It was written by Andy Armaganian and directed by Stephen Harper. So, there we go.
There you go.
Oh, wait, you know, I will say... wait, no, the other way around. Sorry, I just screwed that up.
That's all right.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
I will say that... I like the episodes of season 2 more than season 1, but I like the season 1 titles for the episodes better.
Yeah.
Just saying chapter 8, chapter 7, whatever.
Yeah, it's like they're phoning it in on that, I think. Just a little.
A little.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fun for the first couple episodes. Like, oh, okay, summer school, but it's like, all right, we're 8 episodes in now.
Well, hopefully season 3 they'll go back to, like, giving them good names.
No, it'll be called, like, Spring Vacation or Spring Break or, like, or, you know, Winter Break, Session, whatever. I love that.
So, in this episode, Matt, I'll just jump right in here to the summary of the plot here. First off, actually, before we jump into that, what did you think of this episode?
I liked it. I like how the last two episodes have kind of taken a break from just all the excitement of, like, the past, I don't know, 3 episodes.
Yeah.
I think it's been pretty intense pretty much since, like, episode 4. And then going into 6, I mean, it was like action packed, especially episode 5. That was pretty intense. And then, of course, episode 6 when Eclipso apparently killed, Cindy Berman and Isaac. But
yeah,
but we're not sure if they're really dead or not because we learn a little bit more about the Shadowlands in this particular episode. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how it happens. I mean, this wasn't my favorite episode of this season. It was kind of slightly boring, but it was okay. You know, I liked it still. Yeah. So in this episode, we start out here where Yolanda has returned the Wildcat gear to Courtney. And Courtney is still struggling with her, you know, with Yolanda's decision to leave the JSA. You know, like you would.
Yeah.
And So then we go over to Rick's house, and his teacher, Miss Woods, gives him a visit to give him some like information about applying for colleges. And then his asshole uncle Matt comes out all drunk and tells her to leave, you know.
Yeah.
And says, you'll end up in jail before you end up in college.
Yeah. Typical, like, drunk ass, like, angry, you know, Trump supporter guy who's not, like, you know, happy with his life or whatever. So, you know, he takes it out on, like, his, you know, younger relatives.
Yes, like they do. Rick ends up heading off to visit Grundy. And Grundy is sympathetic to his problems. Mm-hmm. Like, the only adult who is right now.
Pretty much. Even Pat and stuff, they're not really, you know, asking him how he's doing and stuff like that. They're just kind of, you know, JSA teammates, and Pat's kind of like the coach, but nobody's been really, you know, asking, you know, Rick how he's been doing. He kind of has like this sort of breakdown when he's about to deliver some food to Grundy, and just pretty much just screaming out to no one, really. I don't think he was actually screaming out to Grundy, but then Grundy heard him, and then they ate apples. Well, Grundy ate most of the apples, and Rick was just telling them, like, the story. I understand the message he was getting, but it was kind of rude comparing him to a dog, but I get the spirit behind the story.
Yeah.
Where he's basically saying that, you know, when he was young, his brother got a dog that he wanted to be a fight dog. He's, you know, very vicious, and he just treated his dog even worse so that he'd, you know, be more angry and aggressive. But Rick took the dog away once and gave it to a family in a nearby town called Oakville, which we hear a lot about Oakville in this season, in the last season as well. And, you know, he just lied to his uncle, said it got, he ran away or whatever. But, you know, the dog had, you know, reacclimated to his new home and environment. And within a year, he was, you know, a completely different type of dog. So he was basically saying, oh, Grundy, you could be a good dog. but the spirit behind the message was nice. And then he didn't think that Grundy understood what he was talking about. But then Grundy patted him on the back, you know, as gently as he could with his huge hands. And he gave him one of Rick's apples that Rick had given to him. So technically, it was Rick's. But anyway, again, that was a nice spirit behind that gesture as well. But, so they're kind of like become buddies somewhat now.
Yeah, they're sharing apples. Like you do.
As you do, you know, with a really tall, big, beastly looking dude with like a emo haircut, kind of. Maybe Solomon Grundy was just like some emo kid they like found, and they just like did experiments on him, then made him like a huge, you know, dude or whatever.
Yeah, he was like the singer of Hawthorne Heights, and he
or something like, you know, some Midwest, you know, post emo band from like 2004 era or something like that. You know? They're like, hey, this kid looks like he might be troubled. Maybe, you know, we'll like tell him about our manifesto to save the world, and then we'll just have the Dr. Ito do some fucked up experiments on him, and then turn him into, you know, Solomon Grundy. That was actually the kid's emo band. It was called Solomon Grundy. You know, they thought that was like a cool, you know, like had a cool like ironic grunge sound name, because, you know, Grundy sounds kind of like grunge. He's like, yeah, that's a cool name. Why don't you just go over here really quick, and we'll just go do. Oh, you know, they shoot him up with something, and then, you know, that's my headcanon for Solomon Grundy's, you know, origin story. He was a Midwest post emo band singer for a band called Solomon Grundy, and then he wasn't that good of a singer, though, so, like, no one really missed him when he was gone. They just replaced him with someone who was actually a little bit better than he was. And then they changed the name because they didn't really like the name Solomon Grundy anyway. So now, and then that band became Hawthorne Heights, like you said. So it kind of just, you know.
Yeah.
The tale tells itself, you know.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So, we've got, meanwhile, this is, Eclipso, it starts to cause Beth to hallucinate. First off, she hallucinates that her parents blame her for their divorce. And, then he starts to, like, cast doubts to her about her inclusion in the JSA. And becomes very, very racist.
God, I know, that was so fucked up. Especially coming from, like, a little kid.
Yeah.
Like,
it was just creepy as fuck.
I know. And plus, too, like, how he was, like, he was biting on the lollipop, too. Like, not even just sucking it, just biting. Yeah. Like, man, like, that was just jarring.
Yeah, and, but Beth overcomes all this because she's, you know, got her self-confidence, you know, and she's basically able to overcome him. Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting because we were already talking about, like, a few episodes ago about how, you know, we hope that they do something with Beth this season because she's always been kind of like a, almost like the least, I guess, athletic of the JSA. I mean, like, not necessarily saying that, like, everybody has to have, like, equal athleticism, but, like, it seemed like most, at least most of the people had something going. You know what I mean? Like the original Dr. Midnight wasn't just a guy who had goggles, basically. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what they were doing with Beth for a while, it seemed like. So finally, if you think about it, too, because she's the first person who's actually faced Eclipso without any kind of, like, powers, like, yeah, just herself. That's pretty extreme, you know? And he was, like, grabbing hold of her arm and stuff, too, physically. I mean, he wasn't just getting into her head. I mean, like, you know, and, well, no, actually, it turned out it wasn't her head. But, like, still, you know.
Yeah, because, like, while she's doing this, I mean, she thinks she went over to Courtney's and stuff and everything, but that was all in her head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's interesting. I just found it was really weird, like, all of a sudden, the whole racism thing, that was just weird to me.
I like saying stuff like I know about your kind.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. At first, I didn't even know if that's what he even meant. I thought he meant, like, the JSA, like, because he's on the opposite side. So I thought he meant, like, I know your kind, like, we're enemies. But then he kept saying stuff about, like, oh, I guess some stereotypes aren't true. And I'm like, what is this kid talking about? Like, you know?
Yeah, it was kind of creepy. Racist kids are, like, the creepiest thing in the world.
I know. It's just I want to know who this kid is. Like Bruce, like, he chooses this form more than any other form. I want to know
why.
Like, is this because, well, apparently we're going to learn of Eclipso's origin story soon, maybe next episode, next couple episodes. So maybe, and, you know, with the TV, they kind of do things different than the comic book. So maybe we're going to see. Maybe that was him, or who knows? Maybe that was his son or younger brother or something. Maybe the reason why he even wanted to get powers in the first place was the whole tale of, you know, trying to get power, but then it corrupts you type of thing. So maybe he had good intentions, then he became Eclipso and, like, a monster now or whatever. We'll find out.
But. Yeah, hopefully it all coalesces and makes sense soon. Yeah, we get to this point where Beth gets, you know, not gets out of the, you know, returns to reality by putting on the goggles and basically using that as a defense to, you know, block Eclipso. And this was told to her by Dr. McKnighter, who she can now hear in the goggles. And basically, he tells her that he's being hunted in this shadow land, or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a land of shadows.
It's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, it's the Shadowlands, right? I mean,
right.
There's no need to clarify what that means, apparently.
It's like the bad part of town, right?
No. Well, he said, I think they see me, so there's like multiple people there, must be, and that's where the Shade maybe gets his power from. We'll start maybe get hints of that.
Yeah.
Or that he utilizes that power and he said something too, there might be a breach, so who knows, maybe we're going to see all kinds of crazy shit coming out now, because you know, apparently that's not supposed to be anything that could break through into like the real world, so maybe we might see even creepier shit than Eclipso coming out in the next few episodes.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens here, and hopefully we get some answers soon.
I know, we only got 5 episodes left, so yeah, better count.
I'd really like to see McKnighter, you know, somehow join them in the flesh or something. I mean, not to take away the whole Dr. Midnight thing from Beth, which he now calls her, so which is good. You know, he basically says she's the new Dr. Midnight, so he's right, past the torch. Yeah, the goggles say that.
It's a fish.
Yeah.
It's fish.
There's fish? What kind?
In the Shadowlands, it's not that great. It's not as good as, like, you know, down here on Earth or whatever. And, you know, the best fish you got to get is the restaurant called Solomon Grundy's. They, you know, Hawthorne Heights, after they, you know, they got tired of touring all the time, so they ended up buying a restaurant, you know, invested some of their money from their tours. Records and they bought a little restaurant.
They just bought an old Long John Silver's and they just served the old food that was left over.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much it. I mean, it's, you know, it's very few, you know, investments in the materials and product, but you know, it works. It worked out for about a week or so, and then none of this is true, by the way. So yeah. I don't want to be like saying I'm making shit up about a real band in real life. Mm-hmm. Fake news. No, Dr. McKnighter told her to keep the goggles on at all times now, because it can detect lies.
Yeah, and it can protect her from Eclipso. Basically, Eclipso can't get in if she's wearing the goggles.
Right.
Which is
so I'm starting to wonder.
Which is that's going to be her.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's going to be her new power. She's going to be able to do some weird computer shit and basically make goggles for everyone else in the JSA so that they can't,
yeah,
you know, not seduce, but deceive. Mm-hmm. Seduced by Eclipso. Whoa, that's a whole other movie.
Yes.
That's the X-rated movie, Seduced by Eclipso. Gross. He's like this nasty looking dude.
Do you want to take a quick break here, Matt, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the rest of the episode?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
What is Gen X? What is the silent generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guests every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
And we are back, folks. Back, back. We are back.
I came back.
Anyways, so
every response sounds the same. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
So, what we got here is a failure to communicate. No, the next next thing that's happening in this episode is Eclipso starts manipulating Rick into thinking that Grundy killed a little girl, and then Rick gets mad at him, and he starts, you know, chasing him, and he uses his hour power and
yes, hour power
to beat him down. And basically what ends up happening is he's not beating Grundy. Eclipso's fucking with his mind and making him think that his Uncle Matt is actually Grundy. And so he's basically beats his Uncle Matt to a pulp.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel really sore, you know, I think.
Yeah.
He beat me pretty bad.
No, not you, not you, Matt.
Oh, right, yeah. Which, you know, I call bullshit because
yeah.
If he thought he was beating up Solomon Grundy,
yeah,
he would have killed a regular-sized person by the kind of strength he was trying to muster to,
yeah.
To, you know what I mean? Like, because of, like, if you think you're hitting something larger than what it is, you're trying to use what you think would be the appropriate
amount of strength. Yeah, it's just like if you're trying to if you're jumping down two stairs on a staircase, you're gonna jump at one strength, and if you're jumping from three stairs, you're gonna jump at another.
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of
couples.
Yeah.
And unless, of course, maybe he was holding back on Solomon Grundy like he did before. He didn't really want to kill him, but he still really had to beat him up. But even so, I'm pretty sure Matt would have been a goner.
But either way, he beat Matt to a pulp, and mm-hmm. you know, Matt's like unconscious and everything, and being rushed to the hospital. And Rick is arrested, and when he realizes that he had beat up his uncle and not Grundy, he destroys his hourglass amulet. And then,
idiot.
Yeah. And then, while this is happening, Grundy himself is watching this from afar. Kind of, like, sad and stuff, you know. He's kind of solemn.
Yeah.
Solomon.
You know. Solomon, yeah.
Yeah.
He's Solomon, and he's, you know, Grundy. I can't think of anything that rhymes with Grundy. So, he's grungy.
Speaking of food, you know, at that restaurant, they serve salmon Grundy.
Oh, that's good. I like that. So, you know, another fun joke. There's, I just came up with this literally right now. It's not even a real joke, but, so there is a person, a guy from Iran, you know, ancient Iran, Persia, whatever it was called at the time, Persian Empire or something. He was Zoroastrian, and his priest, he was kind of like the equivalent of like an altar boy. Like he was kind of like he was learning from priests and stuff. And, He said there's going to be a new prophet coming out. You know, that's what he said too, just like that. New prophet coming out, like a new album. You know, better check it out. And so then he went to, you know, he figured it was Muhammad. And his name was Solomon, you know, the the Persian, or, you know, Salmon the Perchin. Yes, I just came up with that literally right now. And I'm going to go to hell for telling that joke. But anyway.
So, how about them local sports teams in the game? I'm joking.
I'm going to be a great comedian. I'm going to tell that joke live and get, like, destroyed by hecklers.
It'd be like the fish list that Marshall tells on How I Met Your Mother.
Yes. I don't remember that, actually.
Yeah, he tries to stand up one time, and he goes up, and all he just does is name Fish. And he thinks it's funny that's somehow. Awful. Like, Sturgeon? I don't think so. Wait, what?
Okay, yeah, I do remember that now. Oh, by the way, for Solomon Grunder, he says friend. Like, you know, he's like some, it's like a Harry and the Henderson type of episode, really, if you think about it. Like, you know, or Henderson's, rather.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a much more sad movie with just Harry and the Henderson because he killed the rest of the family. That's terrible.
So after Rick is arrested and Matt is sent to the hospital, they watch from afar. Grundy's watching from afar and everything, but then we cut to Barbara and Mike, and their house is, they're like comforting each other, you know, he's calling her mom and everything's cool, and then their house gets encased in ice.
Uh-oh.
And that's how we end the episode.
I wonder who it could be, because we've already seen ice powers being... Mm-hmm. You know, sort of released, or you know, they were dormant, and now they're, you know, they're becoming, you know, manifesting from Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, too. So when they, when Rick thought that Solomon had killed that girl,
mm-hmm.
Courtney actually found a girl with Rebecca McNider. Like, he's choosing these type of... I don't know why he's so obsessed with... I mean, he could have chosen any girl. Like, why would it be the form of Rebecca McNider?
You know what
I mean? So I'm starting to wonder if it's because of Pat. Did Pat know her at some point in time? Because the way time works in this universe is really... It's always been... It's like... Everything about the JSA, like, feels like it's like in the 1940s, but then the story begins in 2010. So it's like,
yeah,
there's gotta be something going on. Like,
yeah, I don't know really what's going on there and what's going on in this Earth, you know, too. Cause yeah, we'll see what's happening too, because this is Earth 2.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it is.
And so, yeah, cause we do have, speaking of, like, things, we'll talk a little speculation here. I know that, I think it's the next episode, we're getting flashbacks to the JSA.
Flashbacks. Nice.
Yeah, and we're going to find out more, and this is the episode that John Wesley Shipp's going to be in, so I don't think he's going to be in present day. He's just going to be in, which sucks.
Maybe he will be in a few episodes.
Yeah,
maybe
who knows. Yeah, but I was hoping there'd be some kind of crossover where you could connect the Flash to this show now, but you know, you still do, but you don't, you know, at the same time, if you're doing flashbacks.
It's because he's from Earth 2, the original Earth 2.
Yeah, but now he's living in Earth 1, Earth Prime, or Earth Prime, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
So he was from like OG Earth 2, then he moved to Earth 3 because they needed a Flash more than Earth 2 did, I guess, for some reason. Although that was because I forgot her name. She was only in Harry Wells' daughter.
Oh.
She became Flash.
Jesse Quick, yeah.
Yeah, but then Earth 2 was destroyed like everything else, and everyone there is presumed dead. We don't know. But then when Oliver Queen recreated the multiverse, which nobody knows really exists now except for a few people, pretty much everything was just redone. So, like, this Earth 2 might not even be the same Earth 2.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's very hard.
But it's just interesting because, like Jay Garrick used to live on Earth 2. Now he lives in Earth 1 after he had lived in Earth 3. So it's like, okay. Because Earth...
Once you watch, like, the 500,000 episodes CW pumps out, it just becomes a sort of intuitive thing. You just sort of can understand it. But, like, before you get to that point, though, like, when I started watching these shows, I was so confused. I'm like, how does this match up with that? And it's like, you just keep watching it, and over time, it just sort of, like, just goes with the flow. You just kind of feel out for it, you know?
Yeah, just hopefully in the next episode, things will make sense, and we'll start to understand what's going on with, you know, why Eclipso is doing what he's doing, why he's taking the form of Bruce. You know, we'll get some more, hopefully we'll get some more Joel McHale, and I know for a fact we're getting Joel McHale and John Wesley Shipp in the next episode, so.
That would be so cool.
Yeah.
I want to meet that guy so much.
John
McHale too, but
yeah.
I have a feeling that he might be a little bit sarcastic, but but John Wesley Shipp seems to be like genuinely like kind. Like,
yeah, just, I follow him on Facebook. He's always really cool posts and everything. Love to get him on the show, but you know, I don't think that's going to happen. But we'll see. He was recently interviewed on Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. So. I have yet to listen to the episode, but I know he was on there recently, so I'll have to check that out soon. And
yeah.
Everybody else should too, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else, Matt, before we wrap things up today?
Let's see. Going through my mind here.
Is that the sound of your mind?
That was like the typewriter in my mind, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sort of clicking away.
Well, hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode, and if you did, please give us a 5-star review. If you have any theories of what's going to happen here on Stargirl, message me at mike@cullenpark.com. Also, check out our all2real2.com for links to all of our episodes and our social media and all that good stuff. You can check us because we've got a link to our Facebook. We got a link to our Twitter, our Instagram, our TikTok, which we haven't figured out what we're doing with yet. Got suggestions. Let me know. Also, check out our TeePublic and our Patreon. Good ways to support the show. Also, like I said, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. But, you know, until next time, folks, get vaxxed, wear a mask, wear a condom, and bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.